is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break telling grieve me. Way I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Baton, I say up and running. Charlie Brown say my show boy don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. True, they see a humble thing, the lions.
Good night and welcome to another edition of Inside the Inner City at Bomez every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. except holidays. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. I am the host of the talk show, Inside the Inner City, and it's just a pleasure to have you listening tonight. I mean, there's a lot that can be discussed, you know, a lot of events have been happening around the country. So we just piggyback on some of the stuff that we've been talking about for a long, long time. And I just like the general public to know, what is my whole objective of being on the radio? I know many of you have listened to me over the years, coming from the streets and being one of the top gangsters back in the late 90s. My experience and how my transformation from being a guy on the streets to being a person who is concerned about his country and its citizens. And this show is dedicated to the performance that I do, that I've been doing for the last 23, 24 years in the country, to let those who are theirs listen, those who are wealthy and would like to invest in making a better Bahamas. I encourage them to find organizations around the country who needs that assistance. Because all of my objective, everything I talk about on the show, is to see how we can reduce crime. So if you listen to my platform over the years, when I speak on ZNS, or I speak, take interviews on other great radio talk show hosts, whether Steve McKinney, used to be Gems, I get interviews from ZNS. And my thought and heart always about letting the problem be known, what is going on in our country, so that we can start to find the right mechanism and programs that we can use to change the directory of the country and everything I do. So whether I'm criticizing the top brass of the country, whether it's the Prime Minister, the Deputy Prime Minister, the Commissioner of Police, I do so. Even myself and the community people who don't address their issues, who complain about government all the time, and you have the power yourself to pick up the slack. You understand? Some people complain about government all the time. You know, every time you listen to some of the callers, they complain about government all the time. Yes, government is about 70% responsible for the demise of how the country directory is going right now, based on the fact they were supposed to find better alternative and methods to make the Bahamians society less expensive and make the lives of the kids more cheerful and happy so that we don't have a rough, tough society like what we have today. So, yeah. So my whole platform is to try and educate, but I'm not a talker, I'm a doer. So in other words, I'm saying that you as a citizen can be a change in your community, regardless of the circumstances. It's never gonna be easy. You know, it's not an easy road. You know, everything is expensive in the country. And I would just like to say, you know, to those out there who are doing their best to try and ensure that they contribute to the development of the country, I just give a thumbs up. Because like I said, it's a very difficult, tough task out there. Many of the Bahamian people who we think are civilized are really uncivilized because of the circumstances of that village concept. And our village concept nowadays has been described because the village itself doesn't have the resources to even grow up the kids or to grow up a community. So it's basically we start from scratch, and I just like to continue to contribute. But everything that I discuss in the show, it's not a talk, no individual. But if you have a title of power in the country where you can change the dynamics of a country of being a prime minister or a commissioner of police or anyone who resides in the country who has the opportunity when they elected or appointed a position of power to use that power for the betterment of the nation. And if persons who hold this power position don't understand that they have an opportunity to make the lives of so many better instead of them just enriching themselves. You know, so many people might feel like me as an individual who speaking on the radio, sometimes, you know, against the hierarchy in the country, that I'm insulting. No, I'm not insulting. I'm telling you like how it is, because I still reside in the inner city community. I've not moved out. I still see the conditions. I see where we can improve dramatically in the country if we put our resources where we're supposed to put our resources. And I think that we can see poverty decrease. I think that we can see murders decrease. I think we could even see the morals increase instead of decreasing in the country. Because when I look at the newspaper the other day and I listen to social service, and they are saying they had an increase in people, citizens of the country, applying for back to school supplies. So that means increase from last year to this year. So if we don't look at these statistics, and these statistics are not saying something to us again, we missing the ball. That means we are not making the right, how I should put it, we are not making the right type of effort. We are making effort, but minimum effort. We are not making the type of effort to eradicate those thousands or hundreds of families who are applying for back-to-school items from social service. What are we doing to stop feeding and giving people handouts in the country? How are we going to change that? Because we can't keep it up as a country, people depending on government and social service to supply the needs and wants, because the government itself over the last 40, 50 years have failed to empower the people, put them on a path where the community and the country sustain itself to take the pressure of governments by creating a lot of people, like thousandaires and millionaires in the country, you know? And since we don't have nobody who have nothing, and that's why I talk about the village concept, the village has been torn apart because now we have everyone picking on everyone, you know, and everyone is frustrated, everyone is angry. You understand? And that's why we have this corruption in high places, corruption in lower places, corruption in the prison, corruption in the family, because everyone is frustrated. And to make the right decision this time in the country, I think that you have to be at ease. At ease means that, you know, you can be able to take care of yourself and family. You don't really too much have to worry about bills because you get a good income coming in. So you can be able to deal with some of the stress. But for thousands and thousands of Bahamians who live around the country and on the family island, they don't have that option because they have to pay light bill, they have to pay water bill, they have to do all the et cetera and et cetera. So they have a lot of stress, their relationship problems. And so all of this here is like, and this is around in a community. So you can imagine how many unhappy people, you know, are around the community. And I could speak on that because, you know, I live in the community for the last 50 years from I was a baby. And I'm seeing some of the changes. I'm seeing the effects. I'm seeing the disaffect. I know what I think is the solution to make the situation better for the community because I've been studying it for a little while. I've tried many different programs, but now I'm getting to understand that empowerment, development, and empowerment is key because you can educate, you can empower, and you can start to reach people, and it would start to spread. So my topic today, I was supposed to have the minister of being a grandstand coming today. MP, Mr. Watson. He was supposed to come in today, but I guess he's super busy. So today we're just going to talk about something that I was reading about in the newspaper. And we're going to touch on a couple of topics too as we go along. And like I said, everything that I discuss or I do is to prevent crime, prevent safety for our citizens. How do we do that? Get ahead of the problem. So this whole program, this whole platform, it's crime prevention, okay, and development. So in other words, I'm a crime preventer by all these topics we have. I'm trying to explain to the general public that if we were to correct some of these things we're doing in government, what we're doing in the policing sector, bring more community policing, you know, get government to invest more in the inner city community, get private organization to invest more inside the inner city communities. And we start to focus more on the schools and agriculture and tourism as a business where we can introduce the market of tourism, which produce, I think, some $5 billion last year in revenue from the 9+ million visitors that came to our shores here last year alone. So we could change the directory of the country. We just have to take that leap of faith. And I think it's time now. And I just want to say this. I heard the Honorable Prime Minister, the Honorable Brave Davis, I think it was last week or week before last, he was doing an interview. And he mentioned the fact that urban renewal in Freeport, Grand Bahama, was looking to repair some 30-something to 40-something homes that has been outstanding from Hurricane Dorian some years ago, where we lose sustainable lives in Abaco, Freeport, one of the most devastating hurricanes that hit the Caribbean in recent years. And the loss of life was in the hundreds, but many people suspect thousands based on the population of illegals who were harboring there. You know, many people said there was thousands. Many people reported the government at that time said that, you know, it's substantial numbers, and they gave their statistics in the hundreds, et cetera. So, yeah. So, I was listening to the Prime Minister, and he's talking about how urban renewal is getting ready to go and repair these homes in Freeport, Grand Bahama with the utmost urgency. So the contract was signed for them to start the repairs and rebuilding of homes damaged a few years back from the devastating hurricane. And there was something he said that was very important. He said that, you know, it's a long time coming for Freeport residents who have suffered greatly. And you know, it was a slow process. And he didn't give an excuse, but it wasn't so much of the excuse. He was just explaining the dynamics of the situation. And what he said is that, and I've always said this to the Bahamian public, because I've been around politics a long time. I've been around St. Lyndon, I've been around Perry Christie, I've been around Tommy Turncrest, you know, I've been around a lot, B.J. Nordich, and I've been around many, many, many senior politicians in the country. And I learned a lot just being in their presence and learning how government runs and how they think and how we as citizens can make the biggest difference. So, I forget what I was saying just now. It's be so busy. Yeah. So, yeah, he said that. Okay, back to Freeport, Grand Bahama. And he talked about the fact that, you know, long time coming. And he is happy to sign the contract for Herbert Renewal to start the home repair in Freeport, Grand Bahama. And he also stated that, sorry. Okay, yes, sorry about that, Minister. That's the Minister texting me now. He told me to send him a reminder. It's no problem, Minister. We could also have your spot available. I'm sorry for not getting back to you. Okay, so no problem. No problem. I'm going to talk a little bit about you too and your progress and the great work you're doing in the being a grandstand and how difficult it is as a minister and not a cabinet minister to make the difference that you need to make in the country. So I'll give a shout out to you as well, Mr. Watson. Thank you, and sorry about that again. So he talked about that, and he said that where government needs to put their priority, sometimes it's distracted by the different business deals and traveling arrangements. Now, he ain't saying traveling arrangements and business, but he's speaking more like, you know, when you're the prime minister, you have so much things you have to do. Your permanent secretary coming to you, telling you you got to make a trip to France next month. Then, permanent secretary, you have a meeting at 1 o'clock with Bahama. Then, you get a situation with BPL, so you got to talk to the operatives of BPL. Then, you have a situation come up with Waterworks. People disgruntled. Prime example, and I think in Lutra. Harbor Island with the residents themselves, you know, complain about the lights out and how their electricity bill ran up skyrocket. So that's what he is talking about. And I've always said this, that most men who want to lead the country, right, they don't understand the difficulty of the assignment. Because when you lead, there are so much different programs and meetings and international meetings and traveling to CARICOM and meeting this one and meeting that one, that your best intention to help the Bahamian people is put aside for a few months until something drastic happens again, like, you know, how we get all like emotional when something like the Royal Bahamas Police Force incident. We could talk about that as well, right? With Mr. Johnson, we get riled up about that. Then after a while, you know, it dies down again. Then when someone else does something again on the police force, we rile back up. So it goes dead for a little while. And but your best intention has been the leader. You don't put the focus on where you need to put the focus. And he was given that example on how he needs to pay more attention. The things are important, not only to the community, but the country at large, because you're the prime minister. People's houses are being damaged from Harkin Dorian going on so many years. Why can't the people's houses get fixed in a timely fashion when you know it was a national disaster? All this money that was sent from around the world, from people who cared about the Bahamas in the millions, why have this not been deployed in Freeport, Grand Bahama and Abaco so that the residents themselves can feel at ease knowing that the government is taking care of them? Knowing you heard about all the finance and just the things that he was talking about, you know. And it's sad, you know. But I also want to show people they have the power to stand up. Not to talk to government. You know, the government is doing a tremendous job as we speak now in many avenues. But there's room for improvement. And now it's the people's time. You understand? It's the people time now. Government have done it 3 years. You know, they're in business like the prime minister state. Now, the prime minister, you have to focus now and get your ministers and cabinet ministers now to focus on the people. You know? And he spoke on that, which I think he understands the importance, but the prime minister can't do it alone. So let me show you what you can do as a citizen. Like I said, the government right now is doing a great job in some of the programs, but there's many room for improvements, and we need those improvements. Okay. Look at the residents of, I think it's Harbor Island, Lutro, that was on the news and Facebook. You see what those people did? They got together as a group of people, not PLP, not FNM. The Progressive Liberal Party is the government of the country. They didn't attack the government. They just said that we need our lights fixed. It's been delayed for so many years. What is the problem? And now you see they're sending equipment over there to the family island to fix the residents' requests. So that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to advocate. You know, let one person speak, and then you get together, not in a disrespectful manner, and you ask for these things. And they say what you ask for shall be given, but it takes a village. It takes people to understand that if we don't do this collectively, it's not going to happen. And that's what I want to encourage people to do. And you do it in a nice, peaceful way by asking. First you find, oh, well, this problem is being run for going on 3 years. Okay? It might not be in fault of the former government. They might not have had time to do it. But now it's under this government. So why not? And those are the kind of things that we are going to have to do to make things better in the country. And also assist the prime minister in his venture. Because I've listened, I've sat down with prime ministers and ministers over the years. And I know me personally, I've given my life to bring improvements to the country with my expertise on how we can help change the directory of poverty, crime, and the citizens' attitude at one time, you know, providing the necessary tools, okay? And like I said, you know, you're going to have to stand up and advocate, and it shall be given. My next topic is about just lately in the newspaper. I'm saying, yeah, I know people want me to mention this, so I can't miss this because, you know, this inside inner city, this is my portfolio because, you know, I live inside the inner city and this show is dedicated to talking about the inner city, how and what the challenges are of the citizens and the community residents, how can we resolve and make it better for them, whether it comes to policing, whether it comes to government, whether it comes to church, how the church can get more involved in the community to make their presence felt for those in need. Because the church was created to make sure that no one is left behind. Okay? Every need supposed to be met by the church means that the church would survey their community host by host and make sure that there's bread and water in the houses. And that's why they said that every need was met. And the church is supposed to be a good Samaritan. And we need also for them to step up there. Many churches are doing a fantastic, wonderful job in their respective community, like Salem Union. You got Mission Baptist Church there. You got East Gospel Chapel Church there. There are many other churches, Miss Nan and down there, and Bean and Grandstand. Mr. C.B. Moss, you know, he's under health watch. So, you know, you've given his all. You know, and he only could do so much for so long. So, yeah. I just want to talk about this real quick. So, many people suspected this when they talked about the Bahamas government, and they said, today, Clayton Fernando, Commissioner of Police, no more statements on CID probe until completion, corps says. So what they're saying is that they don't want to have no more public discussion on this matter until they do the proper investigation. I don't know if the guys still come from Scotland Yard to investigate the matter. He said that the CID is going to probe into the situation, so there's not going to be no more public statements on this. So it's going to be a hush-hush situation until CID probe completes their investigation. You know, like I said, this is what the general public suspected, you know, because we have this conversation on what the next step is going to be. And let me just assure you, like, I'm not, like I say, I don't have nothing against Mr. Johnson, okay? It's the fact of the matter that what many people have been saying over the years, and like I said, this is still under investigation. Mr. Johnson is not guilty as until proven. I don't think he's going to be before a criminal court. I think it's going to be, if there's going to be internal investigation, it's going to be done where the police brass association is going to try and see how they're going to deal with this particular very, very delicate matter that I don't think it's going to go away in the Bahamian people's eyes anytime soon or ears anytime soon. But they suspected this all along because they were saying that, you know, a citizen was saying that. We ain't hear them saying that the voice note was not real. So they might be some truth to it. Could be true. And if it is true, people were saying, well, he's a senior police officer. He's a central government employee. Works for the Queen, you know, works for the Bahamas government. The government of the Bahamas is employed by England, even though we might not say, you know, it is like that, but it is what it is, you know. So we have here, they said that until their completion. And we, like I said, the Bahamian public all along suspected this. We were having this discussion. And then we said, what they're going to do to a senior cop who was done over 35 years? So yes, the topic come up. Someone said that, you know, in the United States of America, if a senior cop is found doing something illegal, right? Say, all the cases that were put before him, whether it's 20 or 30 years, could be brought to question. You know, so we're saying now, that's what someone said. So this got very interesting because I was glad to hear that the younger guys and people in the community were saying this because they're saying they've seen this happen in a few countries around the world where cops or investigators who were dealing with high-profile cases found them to be enacting illegal activity of bribery. So if they are found guilty of bribery, they are sued, the state is sued, the money goes to the victims, and if this dedicated police officer has a long track record of a high volume of rate of cases involving people being sent to jail where he gets his promotion over the years, all those cases could be brought into question. And this is not just a suing issue with the Royal Bahamas Police Force, but this is a slap on the face of the entire structure of the system. So we say to ourselves, what you do if you're the commissioner of police and you got Scotland Yard coming in and they're going to investigate Johnson, and if it's found out true that Johnson did collaborate and did these things on bribery, what are the next step going to be? Because it leads to somebody else, and then leads to somebody else, and then you're going to find somebody else, and then somebody else, and then people say that Scotland Yard detectives, you know, is not going to get the right evidence to bring people before the court. And we started to say, they're not going to bring them in here because it leads to other poison in the country. So this was brought up, and it was very interesting. We're going to take this one call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hello.
Good night, good night.
Good night, Scrooge. How you doing?
I'm going to go. Hey, what's up? What's up?
My dear. You know, Scrooge, and I got to keep asking. I like you, Trump's out of my eye. I try to think of what is going on in my country that every single day something strange seems to be happening. Is that Sahara dust or something blow through the Bahamas and mess up our heads or something?
Yes, sir, it is.
You know, Scrooge, I'm looking at a picture right now on WhatsApp that somebody sent me. There's a lady in a Bahamas police force uniform. On her lapel, she has a Haitian flag. Next to the Haitian flag is a Bahamian flag. But the Haitian flag sits in front, and the Bahamian flag next, plus the Bahamian flag is upside down. The Royal Bahamas Police Force uniform, why would somebody have a Haitian flag? When you become a Bahamian citizen, you're not an American Bahamian or an English Bahamian or a Haitian Bahamian or a Jamaican Bahamian. You are a Bahamian. Only Bahamians live in the Bahamas. Others are residents or visitors. You and I, we are Bahamians. We might have been all descended from Africa, England, France, or someplace.
Yes,
but
sir.
We are Bahamian citizens of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And how could a Bahamian policewoman be walking around on the force with a Haitian flag on the lapel? Hello?
You speaking, sir?
Am I looking at it right now? This can't be, this must be picture fixed up, eh?
You know, if you see something wrong in the country, you got to speak on it.
But this is not right. Not in my country, man. We got to stop this foolishness. Everybody doing what they want to do. We have laws that need to be enforced in this country. Stop making a bunch of laws and being enforced them. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling in. You know, you got a spy sense in there. He made a statement. That's his statement. And he has a right to, because this is inside in the city. And his comment is his comment. You know, I don't have to comment on it. He made a good comment on behalf of the integrity of the Bahamas. He's talking about, you know, seeing two flags, one to the bottom, one to the top. The Haitian flag to the top, the Bahamian flag to the bottom. And I think that as a country, we need to understand the seriousness of it. Like Sparky was saying, that this is the Bahamas. There's no need to put one flag, this one flag, that. Because how I look at it, you're living in the Bahamas, so you are a Bahamian citizen. Abide by the rules and regulation of the country. That's what Sparky is saying. And then, you know, because we are brothers and sisters, but we each was entitled to, and like I said, you know, we're going to die and we're not going to care nothing, you know. So I just give a little comment on what he is trying to say. But I'm saying that if you die, you're not going to care nothing, but you still have to protect what you have here, because if we lose what we have as a country, and that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our morals, okay? Cleanliness, you understand? Teaches you that if you see a guy walking with his girlfriend and you and your boy sitting on, and she's a beautiful girl, passing with a boyfriend, we should have respect for that. Husband and wife, they're married, we should have respect for that, you know. We should have respect for other people's property, you know what I mean? You understand? And have respect for one another. So morals and stuff like that, you see. You know, all this deals of how we got to keep the Bahamas with the morals of the Most High. You know? Yahshua, Yahweh, we call him one. We call him God. We call him Jesus. We call the Son Jesus. You know, Yahshua. God is called Yahweh, and you know, and we need to keep the principles. And I think that we are straying away from what we were born as a nation. And when the Father said milk and honey, and He said He'd scatter us. And He put us in countries with milk and honey. He talked about the isles. And the isles, He said that the isles would be the last standing ground. Before I take this call, I just want people to understand how important the Bahamas is in places like Jamaica, Haiti, Trinidad, and Tobago. See, people talk about the rapture, and I heard Uncle talk about the rapture. But the Bible said that He would scatter His people on the isles, and the isles would be the last standing ground. And isles means islands. You understand? And if you listen to the history of the islands, okay, each one of these islands, they're finding billions worth of oil in Jamaica. You understand? The islands are blessed, surrounded by water. You have fishes, You know, we have some of the most fertile land where we could grow some of the best goats and fruits and vegetables and animals. You know, the islands are blessed. So I just want you to listen closely and show you how important it is that we keep the morals. They say, when the whole world goes against God, he said the Isles would be his last standing ground. If I lie, read the book. We're going to take this call. Go ahead, you're on Inside Inner City on Garden Radio 96.9 FM.
Hey, good evening, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm fine. Good night to you as well.
Good night to you as well. I don't know if you heard the conversation on the previous show, Boy Chicago, but Reverend Marco Pines.
Yes, go ahead, sir. Go ahead. Yes, I heard a little piece of it. Go ahead.
Two parties are listening to what he said, because I really feel that a lot of persons in the society are living in a bubble where they're not under the realization.
I would agree.
What is going on in this country? You understand?
Yes, sir.
I feel as it's about 10 to 15% of persons who have a view, and the other rest living in out of poverty and stressing itself out and have a totally other view of how the Bahamas govern, how the Bahamas is run in this day and age. And his conversation today was really refreshing. To actually see someone who actually has the pulse for what the actual people and the voters are feeling in this country, in their minds and the day-to-day and what they're actually going through.
Yes.
Understand?
Yes, sir.
And his honesty. He's there for them. He said that 10,000 times. He's there for them.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? But both parties, you understand, have failed us.
Yes.
They only for self.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? They get in there. They tell us all this rhetoric and thing and all this stuff, and they get in there. And they don't help. They help themselves and their people and nobody else. He said Pillen was the last one. You could have stealing, trickling. You know what I mean?
Yes, he made a lot of millionaires.
Yeah.
Frankie Wilson, Barry Christie, Bradley Roberts.
Yeah.
You could know on both sides of the table. And that was able to generate the general public and make lives better for so many of other behemoths in the country.
And what upset. Marco Pines said in regards to persons who have been in this organization from inception.
Yes, sir.
Have been disregarded.
Yes.
Persons with good hearts who know what these organizations are all about.
Yes.
Both organizations.
Yes, sir.
I ain't going to split no hairs here.
No, you can't split no hairs because it's the truth. It's the truth.
Have disregarded the person, people that have started these organizations and have implemented their ideas.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
These parties are not the parties of old. These parties are not the parties of old. And until these people got to listen to these shows, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
People got to go in the community and talk to these people who don't listen, who are not educated.
Yes.
You understand? So that they realize no little talk $100 here or there or whatever could motivate them. Because it's all about your kids and your grandkids, man. It's the Bahamas is deteriorating year by year.
Yes, sir.
Like I always tell you, brother, the best little country in the world. Don't want to live nowhere else in the world. You understand?
Yes, sir.
With proper governance, it could be the best country in the world.
You're right.
Best country in the world.
You're right.
And I hope they're listening to what he said today, because he has the pulse of the people and how the people really feel of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Fred Michelle, I'm out of touch.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? All of these people are out of touch of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Davis is a good man.
Yes.
You have a good heart. You understand?
Yes.
But he ain't feeling what's going on in this country now.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mr. Pintar, I know Mr. Pintar used to be in this constituency. You understand?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if he is capable of doing what we want him or what we need him to do in this time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hopeful. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
But I don't know. Just from the conversation that Mr. Marco Pine had today,
mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? It's really confused me to what the F and M's real strategy and their real plan and their real plot is. You know, so both sides of these things right now. And he also said, when he stated that, if you go let somebody who don't have no experience hold whatever for you. And that's true. That's why these other parties have not gotten in. Ain't nobody gonna let you hold nothing for them. You understand? If you don't have no experience in dealing with that situation.
And you can say,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what I feel needs to happen is, persons like Marco Pine, Loretta Butluda, and I don't know if she's going to join the PRP or whatever. These type of people, you understand? Historical people that we know need to do something. If they really care about the Bahamas and about us.
Mm-hmm.
They need to join together and form another party and let us get away from this two-system thing where we're dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
We need to fight this right now. This Bahamas has a soul on the line right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our country on the line right now.
Yep.
It's getting worse and worse. Killing, and it's getting worse and worse. I don't blame these guys, you know. What else to do? You know, jobs there. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm.
What else you going to do, brother?
Mm.
Huh? What you going to get into?
Yeah, it's enough.
Anyway, thanks for taking my call, bro.
Man, it's my pleasure, man. You're on Inside the Inner City, and I like to take the comments of the callers because it gives a understanding of those who are listening to understand what the depths the Bahamian people are facing in the country. And it's good for citizens to speak up. You know, I heard that piece about Marco Pine, you know. I think he's a very decent gentleman. I think that he means well. You know, he was outspoken during the minister administration on many matters. And he's saying that, you know, you're not reaching the people. You know, and the caller just now talked about the Honorable Brave Davis, which I would also back up when I say that, you know, as a leader, you know, looking at other leaders in the past, they 15, 20 years, Mr. Davis seems to be the most humble prime minister. You know, but like I say, you know, he needs to understand that being humble, yeah, you're doing some great programs in the country. But you need to look at these statistics, Mr. Davis, when you're hearing about the Barclay School and social service. You know, we need to look at the fact that, you know, how much child abuse, you know, is happening with the child abuse numbers. High from last year in the country, you know. We have assault against women is high in the country, you know. And to top it off, the community that we reside in, you know, ain't have that atmosphere, you know, community atmosphere where we have programs going on to entertain the community, you know. We don't have no shows no more. We used to have the Capitol Theater, and, you know, we used to have a lot of local bars and stuff like that, you know, we could go to and listen to music, Bahamian music, music, reggae music. You know, you could go so many places in the country now. Not everything's just stagnated right now, and there's nothing happening out there as far as employment for the young kids who are growing up in this inner city community. Because every day, you know, I reside in the community, and all I hear is about the fact that they want to work, you know. So that's why I'm using my expertise in my final chapter. I'm going into an empowerment stage where I'm going to work directly with Mark Twinkrest. I just want to tell Mark Twinkrest, I know I have not lived up to my obligation because I have a plan for you. I'm just trying to finish up one or two things. Mark Twinkrest is from the small business development. He has a small business development enthusiast, you know, and I'm going to work with him in my community of Grandstand, at least see if we can get 10 to 20 small businesses established every year in that community. Something like what the opportunities that Lyndon Printland brought, the late, great Edmund Moxie did, you know, did. When you're talking about great leaders, I called a few minutes ago, there are none more important than the late, great Edmund Moxie, Sir Randall Fox, you know, Sir Carlton Francis. You know, these guys were not dedicated to party. They were dedicated to development of the Bahamian people, and we need those type of people again. And they have been reincarnated in different poisons, you know. You could see it in certain poisons. It could be in the Markle Pine. It could be in certain poisons out there who were chosen from the father, you know, who are they fighting in this great war of poverty and lawlessness that is going on in our country. So, yeah, I did listen to a little bit of Markle Pine. But Markle Pine have been saying, in the last few years, I've been saying 20-something years, for my personal experience and person like Michael Pine, I'm understand the urgency to speak up for the less fortunate in this country if you want to see a better country. We're going to take this next call on Guardian Radio. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, my brother, I'll tell you one more thing. Politicians on both sides of the equation, right?
Go ahead, sir. Yeah.
If they have some type of integrity and feel, some type of way of how their leadership is going, they have the political capital or whatever to give these parties and try and come together and do something else. Please. Anyone listening to me right now as a politician, you don't have to go with the flow and follow the trend. You understand? You went in there with a idea and a possibility or whatever to change the country for the better. You know? If you have that in your heart and if you wanted to do that and you were stopped by leadership or anything or their agenda or anything like that, as a Bahamian citizen, I request that you try and do better and organize yourself into a third party or something else to help us if we need your help.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
No, my pleasure. So the young gentleman is putting the word out there. If anyone's listening, you know, it's a great idea. You know, and I just want to comment that as well. You know, what the young man said, you know, it makes plenty of sense. And I'm not criticizing nothing he said because everyone has their own mind, and sometimes what they speak is the truth. But just say, what I get to find out now, you wonder why the late great Bernard Nordich didn't win as a third party. You wonder why former FNM MP Brenwell McCartney with the DNA, Democratic National Alliance, you know, gained some very good traction in their first come out. Here's the thing about a third party, why it's going to be very, very hard unless the father, Yahshua, Yahweh, bless you. Here's the thing when they get the final. Now, I've been around a lot of some of the biggest politicians in the country. And I'll sit down at the table and see how this thing works. You remember some years ago when Brandon McCartney was the Minister of Immigration, and he went on his way to put on the immigration uniform, hat, and he started to do patrols with the police and immigration. They were doing a fantastic job. Then the leader of the party, Honorable Hubert Ingraham, you know, said that, you know, you need to take your time, you know. And, you know, there's a little disagreement. And then, a little disagreement, then you listen, there's a little back and forth with Brenwell and the former Prime Minister of the country, Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingraham. And then, you know, Mr. Brenwell, you know, was demoted of his post, and Mr. Ingraham took over the immigration department because the prime minister actually minister of all departments, regardless of who minister he put there. He can take over any ministry because the government is his own at his disposal. And, you know, when the DNA started to make traction and there was a lot of media attention given to Mr. McCartney and his organization, I can remember quite well when the Honorable Prime Minister Ingraham said that before you win this election, he's telling Brenwell McCartney, he said, I'd give this to my good friend Perry Christie. And here's what I get to understand too. Many people want to be a third party, right? And they'd start off good, but judiciary system is PLP and FNM. The police force is PLP and FNM. The government is PLP and FNM. The prison officers is PLP and FNM. The immigration department is PLP and FNM. So we get all these people, and the most richest set of people in the country on both sides are PLP and FNM, and you know they switch sides to gain traction. So it's going to be hard for a third party to come in this country right now unless they get over 200, 300, 400, 500 million flat, where they can continue to influence the Bahamian public on what their intentions are. And, you know, like you say, we don't want to put the crown on your head when you have no experience. So with the funds there, like, everybody listen to me. If you use a third party in this country, $1 million can help you. $2 million can help you. One person who's donated to the PLB party is give $1 million. One person who's given to the FNM party is give $1 million. Okay? So if you form a third party, if you don't get, like, honestly speaking, to go against the PLB and the FNM, you need at least, honestly speaking, you need at least with $500 million. If you want to win or try to win or stand a chance of winning, because you're going to persuade a lot of those people who in the court system, who are PLB, senior FNM, to come on your side, because you're not going to be able to win unless you get them on your side, some of them on your side. Trust me, because they all about in the system. You understand? That's why it's so hard to beat them, because we have 50,000 people on the PLB side. We have 50,000 people on the FNM side. Right now, as we speak, and then the PLB might have the most people under their organization now, because they won. So they can have them right now in their organization with supporters around the country. And you know, we have 250,000 people in the country. How many people do you think are supporting the PLB right now as we speak? You're going to be anywhere from 150 to 200 or 250,000 people supporting the PLB right now. The only way they're going to mess up right now, if they don't start to do things with the BMN people, and then they have to get interaction. And that's where the third party comes in now, because now you have an alternative. You get the funds. You can help people start fixing houses and stuff like that. Because the third party right now can't go talking. You're wasting your time if you go talking. What do we do if we get in power? No, you need to start doing some things now, lead up to general election, to show the people in this country that you're dedicated, you're on the ground, you're talking to people, you're helping people out with front office arrangements, you're doing all this and fixing some people's houses. As a third party, you're going door to door, you know, because you get $500 million. You understand? That's the thing you're going to have to do if you want to win as a third party. Other than that, I think you're just completely wasting your time if you ain't get $500 million, $400 million or something like that. Because, like I said, the country's entwined. All government departments are part of this organization. I know. The swing voters are the ones who's going to make a difference. How are you going to get their attention? You're going to get their attention by helping. You're going to have your candidates spread out across the country, and they have some funds. Your candidates are running for the third party. They need at least $2-3 million per year to do some things in their consistency, because they're running against Mr. Watson, who is a power machine based on the government's revenue and his connections. That's how it go. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. Good night, good night. You there? I guess they left. So that's the thing you need to understand. You need money, you need God to swing people from the PLP and FNM. So that's going to be an impossible task. You know, as much as people would like to see it, I don't say it can happen, but like I say, you need that money, because you're going to have to send your candidates in these communities to compete against the government, and the government has resources at their disposal. So we can talk all this talk. And like I said, I'm not criticizing the caller. I'm just giving a little insight on what I've studied, and you need that money, my brother. Good night. You're on Inside Hello? In the City.
Hello?
Hello, good night.
It's Scrooge?
Yes, sir.
It's Sparky calling him back. Sorry,
hey, go ahead, Sparky.
You know, Scrooge, like you're talking about starting small businesses in the inner city, right?
Yes, sir.
I applaud you that. But you know, Scrooge, what I try to encourage the MPs and some of the people that get contracts and stuff for cleaning sidewalks and parks and stuff like that, right?
Yes, sir.
And for years, I've been trying to encourage them. Scrooge, you remember when we were growing up along the beaches and along places? We used to go out and we could find things, that, you know, like coconuts.
Yes, sir.
And sea grapes and
yes, sir.
Cocoa plums and all kind of dilly and all kind of stuff along places, stuff like that. I've been trying to encourage those that have contracts in parks to take $100 out of their pay every month and go to Rocky Farms or something and buy a fruit tree.
Mm-hmm.
Every month you put one fruit tree in the park, around the park, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about this now, Scrooge. We had a neighborhood, all the parks in the city and stuff. Every season when it comes dilly season, the people who live in there can eat dilly.
The children could eat delis. Visitors come to that area could have delis and eat. And plant all the way down to the airport along the sides of the road. Then you take your family on a Sunday drive.
Mm.
Whatever fruit or vegetable is growing, you could stop and pick a breadfruit, a dilly, a mango, a canep, or something. And we wouldn't have to buy these things and import everything from the United States. We can grow things in the Bahamas all over the place, around the parks, and we can feed ourselves.
Yes, sir.
And it don't take nothing much. What I did, I got a park. What I did, every month, I go to Rocky Farm. I get two or three plants. I got breadfruit. I got dilly. I got gooseberry. I got you name it. Soursop. Moringa, neem. I just plant it round. Every 10-foot apart, I put a fruit tree. Then the next 2 years, now, like I said, then families go in the park, whatever in season, they can pick and eat.
Yes.
Then they invite people to the party to say,
yes,
they
sir.
Can pick and eat.
Yes,
then
sir.
The children running up and down playing, they can pick a dilly or a mango and stuff like that. What be important mangoes from Mexico for?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
I'm listening, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir. He left? Okay. Yeah. So it makes sense because, you know, like I said, you know, when you talk about all those different seasonal fruits, we must remember that give us our antibodies, gives us vitamin and all those stuff, some proteins and stuff like that. Those combined together gives you enough to fight off a lot of diseases, diabetes, heart attack, you know, even cayenne peppers and stuff like that. Because if you look at it, and like I say, the great book of Genesis said that the healing of the nation is in the grains, okay? It's in the grains. Sparky talked about the soursop. Soursop is one of the number one cure for a cancer, okay? Fever grass and all this stuff like that, they're healthy, you know. And all we talked about the COVID-19. And if we listen to the COVID-19, it states that it attacks your immune system. Your immune system is your gut. And if you eat a variety of different fruits and vegetables, and that include dilly, that includes canaps, potassium and canaps, fever grass, bush tea, you're talking about mango leaf tea, you're talking about guava tea leaf, you're talking about all these additional fruits that we have in the country. Combine them together. You will never get sick. You understand? And we need to understand that. Just don't use no sugar. Use Mogavi and use natural honey in moderation with these variety of different seasonal fruits and grains. It can change the dynamics, anatomy of your body. Because we all must remember that your immune system is your gut. You understand? And everything that would be flushed out because you'll be getting the natural vitamins. Coconut water, you know? Watermelon is actually water. When you're talking about real water, that's what people need to understand. Melons are real water, okay? Those water we're drinking in those plastic containers is not even close to having watermelon, you know? We can take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the City.
My brother, Scrooge.
Yeah, good night, good night.
Hey, buddy. Hey. Always a pleasure to come on your program. And
my pleasure to have
you
as
know,
well.
You know, drop one or two nuggets this year.
Yeah, drop them nuggets in.
You know, hoping to open the minds of our Bahamian people. And even with the little bit of wisdom one may have, be able to share that, which may help to improve somebody's lives.
Yes, sir.
You know, I listened to Sparky just now. Sparky said something very significant that many persons would not take seriously, and that is, you know, being fortunate enough to have been born in the 60s and watched what our forefathers and mothers, even those who are unknown to us,
yes, sir,
actually did some things in our communities that yet today, you know, we look at them as unsung heroes.
Mm.
But they did some things that we aren't aware that they did, but yet we are benefactors of them today.
Yes.
It says volumes. I remember back in the 60s, growing up 60s, 70s, even early 80s. In fact, remnants of it is still existing today. Then you go out by the airport, for instance, and you go through that roadway called Blake Road.
Yes, sir.
Lake Road used to be along the entire that corridor on both sides of the road, but in particular on the southern side of the road was just nothing but cocoa plum trees.
Yes.
You get the varieties, the whites, the grapes, the purples, even the white orange ones, and so on and so forth. What I'm saying here is this. You know, Bahamians back then hardly got sick, hardly had cancer or any of this stuff, because we, the people, believed in eating the natural stuff that God has placed on the earth through his plant.
Yes.
And we have gravitated so much away from that, that now most of us now have cancer because the importation of foods, that we don't have a food quality sector in this country to check the meats that's coming in here, to check the quality of the food coming in here.
Yes.
We don't do any research to see how they are producing these things. We are nothing but just consumers. And it saddens my heart to know that growing up, back in the day, organic stuff that we regard as organic to Bahamians, our grapefruit, our oranges, our tangelos, and so on and so forth, through our family islands. This is why many of us today are still alive, and we are relatively healthy.
Yes, sir.
Because we ate from the earth.
Yes.
You know, and that sort of education is not widespread, apparently, anymore. And why so many of us now have come down with these diseases in our later stages of life.
Yes, sir.
I believe going back to the ground.
Yes, sir.
Is where it's all at. We have to encourage those who are producers, the cucumbers, the celeries, the onions. All of these were grown organically with no pesticides, no GMOs or nothing. But we import so much garbage into this country.
Yes, sir.
And then we have leaders who are supposed to be visionary who, you know, it still hurts many farmers, for instance.
Yes, sir.
You know, they spend all their hard-earned monies growing onions and tomatoes and stuff, yet to have these things imported into this country, their produce placed on the back shelf, while the stuff that's imported into this country that has no true nutritional value per se is being put to the forefront at the best quality that we can get. I'll close on this one point.
Go ahead, sir.
You know, if we do not do what is best for we as Bahamians, and that is to support Bahamians in their effort, whether they are farmers, whether they are fishermen or fisherwomen,
yes, sir.
Whether they are involved in the husbandry, whether they are even involved in the maritime,
yes, sir.
The mariculture. If we do not support ourselves as Bahamians and get this country as healthy as possible
through
the
stuff
that we eat, then guess what? We all will go the way of the Awak and the Lucayans. We will then begin to exist no more. Thanks for taking my call, Scrooge. Thanks for allowing me the opportunity to express myself. Sometimes I get long-winded on these things. But, you know, I think it's important that we really express these things and get it out to our Bahamian people that there's still Bahamians in this country that care for Bahamians and country. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Like I said, this is Inside the City, and we also want the general public to give their comment, because you guys have some good input on what needs to happen as far as the directory of this country, because we all know that there are less fortunate in this country, and we can be in a way better position that we're in, the state we're in right now in this country, okay? And the callers are only expressing their feelings on many matters that have been disturbing to us over the years, and they're giving their 2 cents, okay? Like the caller said, he wanted to drop in 2 nuggets, and he must have dropped 10 just now. And like I said, you know, our culture, right, which we spend billions I think we spend $1 billion importing food items in the country. We could drastically reduce that and start a Bahamian farming community, especially with Bamzi. They're celebrating, 10 years? Bamzi. Here's the thing. The caller also talked about the fact that many farmers be losing, they spend all their money on the crops, but they don't have no market for it. The reason they don't have no market for it, because the Bahamas is not a creative place. These ministers who are in charge of the Ministry of Agriculture, for a prime example, we have a lot of schools in this country, right? They're not planning. Here's the thing. We have kids who have diabetes, right? Sugar, you know, high blood pressure. Why? Because they're eating a lot of red meat. Pass on from their family. You're talking about pig and unregulated items coming in the country. Okay? Now, the Bahamas government now is putting together a food and safety team. It's in the newspaper right now as we speak. That'll go and do research on the food that's coming in this country. I just read in the newspaper just a few hours ago. So like the caller was saying, that we need a food safety team. That's the food and safety team now. They're going to have to test a lot of food that's coming in the country, the canned goods as well. You understand? Because, like I said, these things are of cancer, cancer materials, you know. Just let me give you a prime example. You have mackerel in the can. Now, listen to me. I'm not criticizing the mackerel in the can. I'm just using your modern nation. It's a live fish. You just catch, right? Just say today. It goes into a processing plant that uses substance to keep it, when you put it in the can, to keep it from not decaying. What is in those substance? How long this mackerel that is being caught out to sea has been in this can? 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years? So do you think that mackerel is the same thing as a mackerel that comes out to sea freshly the day it was produced in a can? Let me ask you, the electrolytes in that mackerel has done the disperse. So what you get now is something like a mackerel, something like corned beef, something like tuna, hey? But it's being preserved. So the nutrients are not in it. And then you don't know what's going to build up inside the can. You can't see it with a natural eye, but you could see it under the microscope. But I don't understand why a country like the Bahamas, right, what won't be eating tuna in the can. And we have 700 islands, 700 keys, and so many fishes. You know, we could have live tuna. We could have minced meat. We could make a tuna. You can make tuna salad or a snapper or a jack. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, I mean, like, we lost our way. Think about this, people. You want a tuna sandwich. We say tuna sandwich. Or a fish sandwich, for instance. You can make them with them same fish right out that we catch right out there, you know. Naturally. With electrolytes in it. Watermelon, get electrolytes live. And that's the real water again. You understand? So, farming, tourism industry, agriculture, we could benefit greatly. Sparky talk about planting trees and fruit trees around the country. Yes, we need to. You understand? Because this is the Bahamas, and we have a variety of fruits and vegetables that are healthy and beneficial to us. And like we said, Burroughs was on the show last week, and he went in the sugarcane business, selling sugarcane juice, and he's been very successful and the health benefit from the natural cane. You know, that's the real good sugar that you could use. And you can use it in moderation. You can mix it with lemonade and stuff like that. And it won't give you all those ailments of the processed sugar. But anyway, that was a very, very good conversation with the callers did just now. And Mom, I'm closing it on this. We talked about the politicians, you know, and I've been working with from Bradley Roberts, the late great Bradley Roberts, the late great Bernard Nordich. I work with the youngest MP ever elected in the House of Parliament, suppressing Chihuahua Lang, was young Travis Robertson. Working now with Watson. And when I say working, I'm a community person. You know, I don't ask much from Watson because I know his hands is full. Okay? I make it easier for government. Right? Make it easier for the police. Indirectly. Because I do a lot of tour and a lot of assistance in the community with the young people in the community at large. I help out tremendously the Ministry of Environment because I'm doing their job in the community that I reside in. I'm not waiting on no government to come down and clean up my community. Anyone can tell you now as I speak right now, each and every one of those corners I've been working on cleaning up for many years as I speak right now freely. You know how expensive it is? I've been for every 2 days, it's $150 to $250. $250 for Ben to be out 2 days from Bahamas Trace. Add the numbers up for the last few years, and the Ben is still around today. Right now, the Ben is parked up to Hay Street. And I put it in Steelix Sports, and I have a worker, one or two workers, go and assist those who can't assist themselves. So I'm helping on the MP. And Mr. Watson is you call him a junior MP, and he's not a cabinet minister. And like I said, I work with FNM MP, I work with PLP FNM, or PLP members of parliament. And why? Because they have come and gone and been there, living in that community for many years. I've been doing programs. Ministers come and go, and I've continued to do my programs. Mr. Watson, there's a lot of people, you know, I walk around the community. They heard with Mr. Watson. You know, they're saying that he is only helping certain people in certain parts of the community. Right? Said the same thing with Travis Robinson. When Travis Robinson was elected as MP, they said that he helped his favorites and stuff like that. When Bradley Robinson was there, people said the same thing. So now here we go again with the spin cycle. I understand the spin cycle. That's why I don't depend on MPs. That's why as an independent community leader who I use my private connections like Bahamas Ways, which I was got in contact with when I gave a speech at the Rotary Club of East Nassau. And when they heard what I was doing, they were intrigued. And then they urged to support me. So that's how I get in contact with Bahamas Ways. How I get in contact with Mr. Brent Simonette and Robin Simonette and stuff like that and other people who were part of the organization. You know, and they told them to assist me. Now, I have no money, but you see where the money comes from, the connection. So that's how you make things happen. Okay? So many people are disgruntled with Mr. Watson, so I'd be laughing, you know, and I know why they're mad, you know, because he only could give out certain things. But here's the thing, Mr. Watson, I think there are about 5,000 people who were registered to vote in the last general election, which was the lowest in recent years. Okay? According to the statistics, this was the lowest registered voters in the history of the Bahamas. I don't know if it was because of COVID-19 or I don't know if it was because people were uninterested in voting. There were a lot of people who were uninterested in voting. A lot of people were disgruntled with the government. Even the party at the time, members were mad at the leader at that time was the Honorable Hubert Alexander Menes. Okay, with the lockdown. So, many people, you know, were disgruntled. So I listen. So let me show you what you're up against when you are a member of parliament for Centerville, being in Grandstand, Angleston, unless you're a cabinet minister, unless you have a team of community leaders who you're going to support with their programs because they are helping you do your job. But they're doing something greater than what the MP is doing because these people are not people who has the power to get a tractor rolling like the government, member of parliament, if they're insincere. But these people use all the resources to try and make some things happen in their community. You understand? So they are more important. So if we could get the members of parliament to pay attention to community leaders and persons who are doing great work in the community and to bring some new leaders up, but also not to victimize them because they're not involved with the political party, because I'm not involved with the PLP. I'm not involved in the FNM. But I do business. Collaborate. Understand that I'm a citizen. And that I have to be able to understand that there's a more important role here than political party. But you have to be able to get the information and get the equipment sometimes from government in order to make changes in the community. Because sometimes you might need a license. Sometimes you might need BPL. You understand? So yes. So anyway, I was explaining the situation with the 5,000 people and how that was the lowest voters turnout And I said it because many people must see was the COVID-19 or they was just grunting because former Prime Minister, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Minnis, right? So I look at Mr. Watson. I was saying this. I was saying people who support Travis Robinson switch on Travis Robinson. And many people say, well, why they switch on Travis? Because Travis Robinson wasn't able to give them what they wanted, you know? And they hear somebody else get something. So they mad with Travis Robinson because of that. Because they say, man, I bring this nigga. I help him win the election. He give me one little small little thing. And he give this one year one little $6,000, $7,000. And they hear that, they mad because they get one $2,000, $3,000 contract. Do you think the man could be able to give everyone contract with a budget where he only gets $100,000+ a year and a few thousand dollars after that, what he can do, give with small contracts over that? How that's going to work, and he's not a cabinet minister. He's a junior minister. So a lot of the street generals get mad because they ain't have a day way. Or he ain't seen a day way. You know, because I've been one of those too. Because me, I might told you I was with Mr. Christie, but my intentions were to watch the people. And when I see Mr. Christie wasn't too much interested in the development. Now, he was. Urban renewal. That's us sitting on the table discussing that. That's a great program that is still beneficial, but that needs vast improvement to make the impact that it was set out to be. Okay? So I've been there. And I got disgruntled because Mr. Christie, and I was Mr. Christie right on mine. Okay? When Mr. Nordish came in, I was cool with Nordish too. I was the Minister of National Security. Same thing with Tommy Turnquest. And I think Tommy was by far one of the greatest ministers and persons I know personally. I think if he'd give Tommy Turnquest a chance to be the Prime Minister instead of people criticizing him, I didn't know the man personally. But he's an honest man, but I can tell you. He is the best MP that I have ever worked with. And the late, great Charles Maynard. They were the best members of Parliament I ever worked with. They really was for the people. Honorable Tommy Turnquest, he is a man of his word. You understand? I have the utmost respect for him. And he took a chance on me as a young man. He put my posters up in the United States of America Airport, fish riding around the country. And he told me he believed in me and that I changed my life around and that he would listen and take some advice from me, and he did. He even mentioned me in the House of Parliament on some laws they passed that he said that I helped with. You understand? So I've been around. So a lot of people are just running to Mr. Watson now. But let me ask you all a question. And that's no insult to nobody who's listening to the show. I'm just saying naturally. Mr. Watson gets, I think, $100,000+ a year for what is registry of 5,000 people, I think. But do you think there's only 5,000 people in the Bain and Grandstand area? Are y'all crazy? In the Bain and Grandstand community, which is, starts from there. Police barracks on East Street. All that to Shirley Street. Go back to, I think, Blue Hill Road. Not Blue Hill Road, goes way across to Nassau Street. From Nassau Street, go way down, must see by the roundabout, by the Guardian. Then you got to go way back Wolf Road. Then you're going way back to East Street. Then you're going way back up East Street to the police box again. So that's a big block. Oh, you think 5,000, only 5,000 people live in the Bain and Grandstand community? You dealing with a population close to 40 to 50,000. You understand? So how the hell y'all want a member of parliament like Mr. Watson who only get $100,000? Yeah, he might have his favorite people. Now, I'm not taking up Mr. Watson at all. I'm just telling you, I've seen this. Working with Bradley Roberts. I've seen this. Working with Travis Robinson as a community leader only talking about program and how we can invest in they taking my input on how we could do some things in the community. That's all. I'm working with them. Nothing else. No contracts. Now, if you want to give them a little small, little something, make it. Give them two little guys something, yeah. No problem. But that's not my objective to come and no MP office and say, boss, give me something to do. I get this. No, never in my life. That's why I have credibility and integrity. Now, if it come up somewhere down the line, we say, you know, you need a little something to do, yeah, and we get two, three, yeah, no problem. So, yeah. Crazy. So, you get about 50,000 people in this community, right? You get $100,000. And let me tell the Bayman people this. Go back and check my track record. You know, it's the one who caused these MPs to get this $100,000. But you see, they get right now and helping people in their constituency. They got it from when they put the eye there for it. Okay? That's under Tommy Turncrest. When I tell you collaborating with Tommy Turncrest, I was telling the Free National Movement government. I was working with, listen to me, people. I've done so much for the country that people don't even know. A lot of these things that you see are a lot of behemoths are benefiting right now, urban renewal. Let me just talk about this $100,000 thing. Go and check my track record. Look at all my interviews that I've done on the various shows over the course of my journey. You will hear me tell them, say, we need to give the MPs them a sniping so that they go in the inner city community and help. I say, you need to give the MPs at least $1 million per year. You hear me? And that resonate into the heads of Hubert Alexander Ingram. And then he gave the community leaders a check, and then he started to give the MPs $100,000+ for them to go do work in the inner city community. And when he did that, Mr. Christie and the late great Dr. Brennan Otis led about $200,000+ of the money that the former Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Ingram gave to help for persons like myself in the community who are doing programs to get the assistance from the MP so that we could go and make some changes in the community. But it was so good over Ida that Mr. Christie Dem and the late great Dr. Brennan Otis turned it down, only because, again, politics, they didn't want to take the money that the FNM government gave to them to go do work, to go do community programs in their community when they could use this money to hire some guys to fix the Moses, you know, why say it was in opposition. And I heard when the Prime Minister stated that, former Prime Minister Perry Gladstone Christie said that the money was too little bit. But again, that was me. So you see that $100,000 they're getting in the House of Parliament? That's me, people. There's so much big programs that I help initiate in this country. Y'all won't believe that it's ongoing in this country right now. If you look at Urban Node, I was the forefront of that, working with Mr. Christie and a group of guys on the streets. Second Chance, Lady Cheryl Wilson, wife of Sir Frankie Wilson, when the PLP won the election of our 10-point plan. Free National Movement, similar. And a lot of the ideas that they put forward as a private, listen to this, as a private, non-paid consultant working with the IDB Bank, personally, for the $21 million that was given to the PLP government to build community centers, that was me again. What they're building communities, and they're building community centers now, like Jumbo Campbell in the Centerville area. That's me again. I was the one who sitting down with the IDB Bank. But you wouldn't hear that. But I bet you no one ever criticized me and tell them I'm lying because all this is documented. You understand? So I'm a person for this country. I cannot be corrupted. You understand? Because I know that's a great estate. Because I know what's out there. I know when I was a young man, and I can end on this. I know when I was a young man what I was capable of doing. I wasn't afraid of nobody. All right? Only people had some principle. I wasn't a rapist. I wasn't a robber. And I didn't like people things. I just was one of the most violent poison you could ever come across. Okay? And I can tell you this now. I wasn't afraid of the police. I wasn't afraid of the guys on the streets. Now, there are times I get afraid, like when you have an encounter. You understand? Because your adrenaline, and sometimes you get catch off guard, and then you have to react. But to say, afraid? No. Afraid? No. Little afraid? Yeah. And I see how the country is deteriorating. So everything I do is for the betterment of this country. I've been in some of the biggest programs. Like I said, go check it out. $100,000 getting, that was me. And much more. Go to the Marijuana, you could go to Small Business. You could go on the Nine Yard, and all has to do with helping improve the conditions of the Bahamian people. And not trying to fatten my pocket. Okay? I want to fatten my pocket as we all grow. My restaurant could have done me and complete and finished a long time. But my private sponsors was giving me the funds. I used that to clean up the community. I used my connection to build, help build community centers. And the same time I'm building my rest, I say I'm going to do this last job, help establish some small business people who are poor in the community, and I see this the way out. You know, so let me get back quick to Mr. Watson. So people, how is Mr. Watson with $100,000+ in 4 years' time, that should be like, what, $250,000? He dealing with a population of 50,000 or more people. We know that a lot of people live in two-bedroom, sometimes 9, 10, 17 people live in one place. Not all Bahamian. Some Bahamians, but they, you know, have family coming from abroad. Then you're Bahamian too, in the same position. Light off, no running water. Today, and he's in the city community. How is Mr. Watson going to be able to deal with all this? It's a slap on the face from the government. And I cry shame on the honorable, brave Davis on this. What I mean is this. This is not a disrespect to the prime minister. This is for him knowing the fact of the conditions of the people in the Bahamian Grandstand. He should know better that Mr. Watson cannot perform with $100,000. What needs to happen now? $100,000 needs to go to either $1 million to $5 million. Okay? That's what it needs to increase to. You understand? Then we'd see the change because Mr. Watson's going to have to give account for how many houses to repair, how many people he give contracts to, how much scholarship is given out every year. And we want to see the improvements in the community. So that means there should not be no abandoned houses. All the parks should be fitted for a year where we have people in the area who are coaches working year-round in the park. You understand? We have guys who are unemployed, cleaning the streets, fixing all the abandoned houses, etc. We investing more in education and community centers, like our Jomo Campbell now is establishing the Centerville community centers and community centers around the country. And we use those point of origin to empower people. We bring the small business development program in each community in the centers. Community-minded people also have access to it. People like Samantha Rule, who is an officer of the Prime Minister, who is doing an extremely wonderful job with the small business development, along with the Prime Minister's wife, Mrs. Davis, who was participating in this program. If we could bring all of these programs directly in any city community with an MP of each constituency, forget about $100. $100 is going to help? Crap. Nobody. That's a slap in the face to the Bahamian people. That's why I say to the Honorable Prime Minister, the $100,000 that I vote for is outdated. Right now, each MP in each constituency needs from $1 to $5 million in the inner city community because they're dealing with a volume of people. Mr. Watson can't help nobody. And anyone you put there, when Mr. Watson go, they'd be in the same position. And we'd have the same street generals or people who support the MP saying, oh, he ain't doing nothing to nobody. Yeah, he might could do more. But listen, with $100,000, what the hell the MP could do? Let me ask you a question. You only could fix for two or three houses with that. That's only for two or three families, $100,000 he's get a year. And he don't get that from January to December. He get that like installment, $3,000 this month, $3,000 next month, or whatever. That's how it go. They don't get $100,000 one time. They get it on monthly settlement. So that's meaning you can help a few families. You understand? So if you want to see change, increase that allowance and make sure that everything is accounted for. $1 to $5 million needs to be an allowance for members of parliament to do inner city work or do development in their community. And urban renewal itself needs to be on the ground more effectively. You understand? They're going to have to work with community leaders. I just want to call to say that. Okay? Remember what I said about Johnson? You understand? You know what I said to Mr. Johnson on the Royal Bahamas Police Force? They said people said that because of all the cases he deal with in the country, the Bahamas government and the Royal Bahamas Force would rather remain silent on the matter because they know that if they go and they prosecute Johnson, all of the cases that has been before the court that he himself was involved with can be put into question. All of those who are in prison under Johnson Watch and the Royal Bahamas Police Force can file complaints and saying that he was corrupt. And we'd have so much people filing complaints that this would be devastating for the country. So that's one of the reasons they don't want to keep this with the public eye. They're saying that they want to do the proper investigation and no information. This will not be discussed until all proper investigation was done, because they know this voice note is authentic. And they know if they, boy, I know, they just know that it'd be hell to put Johnson before the court. If he was ever got bring guilty, I don't think it's a criminal offense, whatever it is, there can be a lot of lawsuit for a lot of people who are being in jail. This is how serious this is. This is no joking matter. All right? So I hope you all enjoy the show. All the callers, you all did a wonderful job. And we'll see you next week on Garden Radio 96.9 FM.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street.